Welcome to Vision Destiny 2021. I'm reviewing some of the things that God said so far in 2020, some of the things that have happened, sharing my journals. I've had a lot more time because of lockdown too, and I've got a lot more journals. So I've already got 15 sessions so far up to June. So I'm going to just look at some of the things in context. I'm going to continue from what I shared last time. This is what happened on February the 26th. I went to meet with John Newton, one of the Cloud of Witnesses, who was the writer of Amazing Grace. He was a slaver who was miraculously saved and turned to God, and he wrote that amazing hymn. And the Father asked me to engage with John Newton, to engage with testimonies of those who have amazing stories of limitless grace. Those that came would be the worst of the worst by man's reckoning. Mass murderers, rapists, pedophiles, abusers, traffickers, all sharing how they had been forgiven and welcomed into relationship by the Father. Now that hits up against human justice because we think they don't deserve it. That's sort of the DIY version of justice. God's justice is based on the cross, based on the verdict of not guilty. And therefore, he welcomes all his children into this amazing relationship. But some have amazing stories that reflect the limitlessness of God's grace. So all those who had been victims of terrible crimes came. You know, first of all, they were all the people who, you know, had those amazing stories that they had no way did they think that they were ever deserving of this relationship, yet God's limitless grace overcame their worthlessness in their own eyes. And so I met them. They had stories. Now, there were thousands of them. And it was like time enabled me to listen to all their stories within a short period of earth time. It was one of those expanded moments that you get. And then all those who'd been victims of those crimes shared how they'd been restored and they'd been made whole, even though some of them had blamed God for allowing these things to happen, because usually God gets the blame. Some actually were standing next to their abusers. There was a total oneness and a total unity. Their whole memory had been restored, made whole. There was no animosity. It was just a beautiful thing to see. Amazing, limitless grace in action. I was moved, overwhelmed, weeping as I listened to story after story that represents my dad and how he loves his children. I felt privileged to listen to their stories, unconditional love of the Father, how he had rescued them. Some of the stories were before physical death, some after physical death. In other words, some had responded to his love after they died physically, but they chose Jesus within the fire of God's presence, and some before death. Some responded, for example, at the Nuremberg trials, and there's testimony of chaplains going into those at the Nuremberg trials, sharing the good news of Jesus, and they responded to that good news, and God forgave them. Some when Jesus engaged them as light at the point of their death. And I believe that Jesus does that with everybody, giving them an opportunity of coming to the light. And it was the testimony of so many that in spite of their debauched lifestyles, that they were visited by the light of love on their deathbed, and they willingly and gratefully accepted the grace and mercy that he offered them in that amazing love. You know, and I think God will go to whatever degree. He will reach whatever depths. He will go to whatever heights. You know, David would say, "Where can I go from your spirit? I go down into Sheol, you're there." You know, God will meet us at our point of need, and he desires us to come into a relationship with him. As they relive their stories, I felt, what they experienced, as they had experienced the oracles of his love. The deep emotions of passion, burning desire, intense joy, deep compassion, overwhelming love. They'd experienced that, and I felt what they were feeling. They were literally swept into the kingdom on a wave of the wonderful emotions that their loving Father had towards them. They felt it. It overwhelmed their objections, their unworthiness. Just grace abounded where lost identity was overwhelming them. Grace even more overwhelmed them. There were other stories of those who were facing the depths of despair, had gone through some trauma, that they were facing the reality of their treatment of others, when grace and mercy were demonstrated by the victims or the victims' loved ones. They'd done some terrible things, and yet forgiveness was released to them. And that had impacted them. It was that amazing forgiveness that unveiled the limitless of God's mercy and grace to them. The power of forgiveness is so important. That if someone has done something to us, or someone that we know, someone that we love, forgiveness and the power of that should not be underestimated to reveal God's love, and will turn people from what they've done to the forgiveness and entrance into a relationship with God. The stories continued one after the other, expressing the depth of their gratitude as they shared. They all had one thing in common. That was how love expressed through one or other of the Father's oracles had brought them to the realization of their inclusion, reconciliation, and restoration. They may have not deserved it from their perspective, but God's love overwhelmed those objections. There were stories of how deep compassion and overwhelming love had touched them when they were in a state of grief over the loss of a loved one, child, parent, spouse, siblings, killed in some horrendously traumatic way. And yet at that point, God met them with his love, mercy, and grace. Many came forward, victims of abuse of all kinds, rape, satanic ritual abuse, racism, slavery, who had experienced a limitless grace that transformed them from deep darkness and despair into a place where the light of love shone brightly. It was just amazing to hear these experiences. Then there were those who committed suicide, sharing that they had received the limitless grace and mercy directly from Jesus at the moment of their death. All with stories of being embraced with overwhelming love and acceptance in light. The Father said during an encounter with me, because these experiences of engaging in limitless grace weren't just for my benefit, they were actually to show me that that limitless grace is still available to people today, both sides of the veil, and that he had a purpose for me in that. The Father said, "There are many who have not yet responded to our love because of deep shame. You are tasked to seek them out within the fire and reveal just how limitless our grace and mercy is." The serial killers, child murderers, pedophiles, tyrants, despots, those who are responsible for genocide, ethnic cleansings, the satanic ritual abusers, the worst of the worst, are your mission field. Now, having just heard what I heard, that wasn't such a shock, and it didn't really in me create anything other than, wow, yeah, I would love to be able to reach those with the limitless grace and love of God. Son, only limitless grace through deep compassion and overwhelming love will remove the deep shame that they feel. Son, do you feel it for them? If you do not feel it, you cannot demonstrate it. You can't go through the motions and reach people. Son, come deeper into our heart to feel it and know it for yourself. I, at that moment, as I took that invitation, felt, saw all the worst things I had ever imagined, thought or done in an instant. Then, without any time to react, overwhelming waves of acceptance hit me, washing away every thought and memory until they were completely gone. But I knew for myself that actually I had the potential to be just like one of the worst of the worst. Lavish grace, the pleasure of a loving, doting father rolled over me. It was almost too much to bear. That was just the beginning of every emotion linked to love bombarded me into total surrender. I just surrendered to that love. No thought could object to the experience of unconditional love. Any vestige of doubt was washed away in the torrents of the abundance of pentatonic love frequencies of the oracles of the Father's heart. Passion, burning desire, intense joy, deep compassion, overwhelming love. Son, now you know you can give what you have freely received. As all sin is but a result of lost identity to us, one is all and all is one. See, we categorize sin. We categorize the symptoms that we see, and some are terrible things. And I'm not diminishing anything that has happened or what people have done, you know, and those are horrendous things. Yet the grace of God is overwhelming. Every one of those things was nailed to the cross when Jesus died as us. And we died with him. And all mankind died with him, so all mankind could be raised with him. This is the power of the cross, the victory of the resurrection. The comparative scale of badness, if that's a word, is a DIY tree invention fueled by guilt to lessen the shame. You see, if there's someone worse than me, that's a guilt reduction strategy. It means that I'm not as bad as some other people, and that can make me feel better about myself. Does it really make any difference to how God sees me? No, but it may make a difference to how I can live with myself. That is a DIY covering. It's just a fig leaf trying to cover up the reality. God said this, the Father said, we just see our children adrift in their lostness. As to us, one act is all acts. It's just a symptom of lost identity, and God so desperately wants to restore our identity. Son, mercy triumphs over men's views of justice when the stories are told, but what you will feel from those in shame is the self-inflicted reaping of all that they have sown. See, no one gets away with anything. You live in unforgiveness in this life. You live a tortured life. Most of it's afflicted in this life. But when you go into the fire, if you don't know the love and know Jesus, then you feel and reap what you've sown. You feel the intensity of anguish and torment that you bring upon yourself from realizing what you've done. They are still suffering the self-inflicted consequences in the fire. I'd felt the self-inflicted torment myself, even if it was just for that moment, but I could identify with those who are facing their shameful acts, but are still unable to receive mercy, even though it's available. Only one who has experienced their pain and received limitless grace will be able to reach them. Son, you have this mandate. You have experienced this reality from both sides. Freely you have received, now freely give, by releasing limitless grace and mercy through deep compassion and overwhelming love. February the 26th, I felt inspired, compelled to go into the consuming fire of God's love, so I could preach limitless grace to the worst of the worst of the worst by man's reckoning. So I went back to the court of the upright to engage with John Newton again. And again I met those who were beaming, shining with joyful exuberance, waiting to tell their grace story. I asked if they would come with me into the fire, and they were only too pleased to accept my invitation. So we went into the fiery place from Wisdom's Heights to engage with those who were trapped in deep shame. And it's like the frequency of my mandate drew them to come forth to a place where I could see and engage them. So I turned my desire and my own testimony of deep compassion and overwhelming love to create a frequency of hope, to draw those out of their self-imposed darkness into the light of our glory. And our glory is our testimony of God's love. There were representatives of all the worst categories of human degradation, and all I felt was the oracles of the Father's heart towards them. I saw Hitler, Stalin, other tyrants in history all come forth, heads bowed, covered in darkness. saw Ted Bundy, Charles Manson, Christie Brody, many other serial killers come into the light. One by one they came, the worst of the worst. I felt their anguish, pain, and torment. I don't know if it was actually them as individuals or if they were what I saw as representatives, but it was that real. There are also those who committed suicide and were held captive by the religious shame that they set, that said they could never enter heaven. I felt the passion, the burning desire, the intense joy, the deep compassion and the overwhelming love that the Father has for all his children. I felt it. This was intense. I was moved. I preached the love that inspires such limitless grace. But actually, I felt totally overwhelmed by their guilt, shame, and condemnation, their fragmentation, their brokenness. It's a very, very intensely emotional place. So based on my experience, I released all the love and acceptance I had received. I covered them in the frequency of my sonship. I began to give an impassioned call to their altars to come into the light. And my passion drew the Prince of Peace. Jesus came as Prince of Peace, as he had done before when I'm engaging altars. Because if people are fragmented and broken, they can't respond. They're double-minded, triple-minded, quadruple-minded, living in fear and anger. So I called on the witnesses to release their testimonies of limitless grace, to release the forgiveness that they had received. As they released limitless grace and forgiveness, hundreds of thousands responded, their countenance changed or their heads lifted. I offered them peace, and as I shared the true gospel of forgiveness, I forgave them, as did all the witnesses, on behalf of all their victims, and they released another wave of the loving oracles of God. More heads began to be raised. I continued to bombard them with love's light until that was accepted. They accepted there was a choice that never imagined that they could make. You see, they don't realize because they're kept into their own imagination. The choice to come to Jesus, receive his amazing grace and mercy. Jesus, as Prince of Peace, was there with us. I watched as one by one the altars came into love's embrace to receive the rest of love, joy, and peace. Beautiful, beautiful scene. When all had come, Jesus turned and led them out of that place of fiery torment through the fiery sword, where each knelt down in surrender to confess Jesus as Lord. Captivity was now led captive into the limitless grace and mercy which had triumphed over their own self-inflicted form of justice. As they followed us out through the fiery sword, they ran into the arms of the Father, who was running to meet them beyond into Zion. And they were embraced by limitless grace. Each was given a ring of sonship, robes of righteousness, as all the hosts of heaven rejoiced and celebrated. Restoration is limitless grace in action. It is so wonderful to see one child. And when you see thousands and hundreds of thousands, it's such an amazing experience. What a celebration there was in the realms of heaven, as those who were lost, hidden within their own shame, self-imposed darkness began to shine as light. Then I began to think of all the victims of those, now free, basking in limitless grace and mercy. And then it struck me, what about the victims still in bondage to the torture of unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, and trauma? So I asked for the new witnesses, those who had just come out of that place, to help. And we went back into the fiery place, and I set the desire of my heart towards those who were stuck in unforgiveness, in that torture. They came forth, some hostile, angry, entitled, blaming God. I felt what they felt. I could feel that sense of injustice that covered them in darkness like a cloud. I released the frequency of the oracles. One by one, I reminded them of their lostness, their own sin, and called for restorative justice where the victims would meet their perpetrators. I asked him who was without sin to throw their accusations like stones, but there was silence. Then one by one, the perpetrators asked for forgiveness, and I saw the most amazing reconciliations take place. I had no need to say anything as I turned to lead more captives free from self-inflicted torture and torment. Once again, walking together, the victims and the victimizers knelt to confess love for God, each other, and they rose to walk through the fiery sword into Zion. A beautiful sight. Then the Father engaged them. It was so wonderful that they received that love. And the Father said, "Son, now you see why there is a celebration when the lost are found and our children return to us." I went through the gateway into Zion, and what I saw was the loving Father again, just as in the story of the prodigal son, in that illustration, running to embrace each one, to impart sonship, robes of righteousness, rings of sonship. Such a beautiful place. Now, you know, I know that I have mandates to do this, but I believe all of us are responsible, not just for our present generation, but for all generations, for the restoration of history, for all those who've been involved. So don't be put off. Don't be intimidated by those who say you can't do this, that people can't escape. The testimonies for so many people now is, yes, they can. The Father said, "Son, do not be intimidated and do not back off from your mandate, which is now primarily the restoration of all things." Those stuck in the deception of futurist eschatology will inevitably frame restoration wrongly, so legislate for an opening of their eyes. 2nd of March. "Son, be yourself. Rest in all that I've made you to be. In rest, the vast sum of our thoughts about you are there to create the energy that you live in and use to fulfill your destiny." It's amazing when God says sort of stuff like this to you and you experience it. The truth about who you are from our reality can be used to frame your reality. Rest reveals our heart and provides the motivation and the life energy needed to creatively establish the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. "Son, we have shown you some aspects of limitless grace and mercy, but there are many more dimensions of grace to be experienced. Continue to trust the oracles deposited in your heart and express your passion and burning desire for our heart through love. Son, as your mind is expanded, so has your heart's capacity and desire for restoration. The more you know, the more you will be able to know, as truth frees your mind to grasp true reality. Son, you have glimpsed our mind and how we are connected to everyone at every moment, but let us show you more." I immediately felt connected to creation, to a greater dimension, and the scale of it really hit me. The awesome scale of an infinite God who has made creation in his image. I felt the groan and the elementals' connection and the tension between mankind in disconnection. The disharmony was tangible, yet the echo of the voice was still discernible, and I felt moved by it emotionally. Creation is not inanimate, but a highly complex neural net of interactions as glimpsed in chaos theory. Then I felt the longing for the reconnection to sonship, such a deep desire for the revealing of the sons of God. "Son, light is the key to connecting with creation. Love's light as waves of possibilities, the quantum wave function collapsing into beautiful reality through the glory of your sonship. Son, our children are more than the light of the world, their light is transdimensional. Son, arise and shine, for creation needs your light to be restored." Now, God isn't just saying this to me. This is a call for all of us to arise and shine. Radiating the highest frequency of rest or enlightenment affects creation itself. Fear lowers an individual's frequency and therefore resistance and makes them more susceptible to all sorts of negative things. Now, we've just come into a situation where fear has been around the world. You know, as a ministry, we encourage people to release waves of love every week around the world, like a Mexican wave of love starting in, you know, in the East, you know, in that time zone, moving through all the time zones around the world, because fear makes people, the children of God, susceptible to negativity, to lower the frequency of the planet, to enhance that groaning of creation. And we've seen a lot of epidemics that have happened around the world, you know, and they do produce fear. SARS, blue flu, swine flu, Ebola virus, Zika virus. It lowers the planet's frequency and it makes it more susceptible and people more susceptible to the harm that these things bring. Perfect love, God, casts out all fear. So why are we afraid? Of what are we afraid? If we truly know we are unconditionally loved, fear has no effect on us. Fear is our biggest enemy. There is this thing I found online. You know, 2002, Nile virus is going to kill us all. 2004, SARS virus is going to kill us all. 2005, bird flu is going to kill us all. 2009, swine flu is going to kill us all. 2014, Ebola virus is going to kill us all. 2016, Zika virus is going to kill us all. 2020, coronavirus is going to kill us all. Wake up, everyone. They just want to keep us in fear. I'm not buying it. Now, I'm not saying that these things aren't real. I'm saying that there's a higher value that we can live from, that we do not have to be susceptible to these things or let them come upon us. Fear brings what you fear upon you. So the more fearful you are of getting something, the more likely you are to get something. Now, whether these things are natural things, whether they're a product of reaping what we've sown into creation and how we've treated creation, and creation in itself is releasing this, I don't know. Some of it may be man-made. There's all sorts of theories. I'm not getting into conspiracy theory. And I'm not saying that this isn't real. What I'm saying is fear is what's behind it, and fear is the biggest enemy, not the virus itself. Son, perfect love casts out all fear. The world is continually gripped by the fear that frequency makes everyone who does not know love susceptible. Fear is a frequency. It lowers our resistance. It is vital the sons of God know unconditional love and live vibrating in that frequency. It is vital that our sons know how to create love's frequency and generate love's energy to keep the world in balance and harmony. And I did a lot of legislation during the early period of the coronavirus and the fear endemic, and we looked to release fear around, you know, love to counteract that fear. But actually, creation responds to our frequency. And I really wanted to make sure that in all this really difficult situation that people were in, that the planet did not start to respond in with earthquakes and natural disasters, as so they're called, because in the situation we were facing, that would bring even more disaster. So I did a lot of legislation releasing peace, harmony, keeping balance, releasing love to try and deal with that fear. And I'm sure many other people were also doing that. The father said, "Son, rivers of living water, the energy of pure unconditional love, can flow out of the heavenly realms through our sons to create energy fields of love, joy, and peace, expressed as rest. That is, we live in the eye of the storm at rest. We do not have to be subject to the situation and circumstances that others are facing, and we can overwhelm their fear with our love. We can outbalance it. This energy is living and active and is our grace, our enabling power, and is limitlessly available to those who know us face to face, heart to heart, mind to mind. Limitless zero point energy, as science has termed it, can be activated with the energy centers of your being to generate the love frequencies needed to deal with fear." And again, we need to activate energy within us so it can flow through us, create energy fields that can begin to affect creation. Fear keeps our children in bondage their whole lives. It is time for our sons to arise and shine with love's light and overwhelm fear with the power of love. Only the perfect love, that's who we are, can overcome fear. So live loved, love living, and live loving. That is pure rest. pure trust. When I was in Colorado Springs in March, 20th of March, doing the Restoration of All Things conference there with Nancy and Lindy and Gil and Adina and others, Larry, and we were there and we did some activations, and Lindy did an activation she brought seven things and she said, look, God wants to do seven things, but which one do you resonate with? Engage with the one you resonate with. And I engaged with the one which was for new levels of legislation for sons. And I legislated for that. I engaged it. And when I engaged it, I engaged with the cloak of mystery that I shared last time, where the cosmic trio of fallen angels were restored and were safely residing. And it was a pretty powerful encounter. And they were once fear of death, fear of intimacy, fear of knowledge, but they are now known as abundant life, deep intimacy, and revealed truth. So I began to engage with them to partner in legislation. And I made some declarations. I call you forth at this time of fear and darkness to come out of the mystery into the light. I commission you to bring life and immortality to light. I commission you to release love's light to shine and overcome the darkness of fear. I commission you to reveal perfect love in deep intimacy to cast out all fear. I commission you to release the truth, to counteract all fake news and false news, because that creates fear in the media and Facebook and all of the stories. I release you into the light of truth and authorize you to unveil the things hidden in darkness. On behalf of the cosmic bench, I authorize you to arise and shine love's light, to cancel the fear of death, to cancel the fear of intimacy, to cancel the fear of and the deception of hidden knowledge. I call you to unveil and release knowledge that's been hidden through fear and bring it into the light. I call for the legions of the heavenly host to radiate love, life, and truth, to turn the tide, tip the balance, to inspire the children of God to rise up in sonship, shine love's light into the world to counteract fear and remove darkness. I call for destiny, freedom, harmony. Three restored fallen angels that I had engaged with here within our ministry to come into agreement to inspire the sons of God to legislate at a new level. And the Father, and I shared this at the conference, and I've worked with those angels from that point on. And the Father said, Son, call for the sons of God to arise, take their places in the rest of their heavenly positions to rule. This is a time when things are happening around the world globally, it's time to look at the bigger picture. It's time to look from a position of being seated in the heavenly realms. From rest, release love, joy, and peace. That which is needed to overcome the fear that's lowering the frequency of the planet, making it more susceptible to dis-ease. Remember, dis-ease comes from lowered frequency. Issue the call for global action, so I can bring good out of the present situation. Son, know that I love all of my children and want none to be lost in fear, but all to come to the true knowledge of our perfect love that will cast out all fear. Son, issue the rallying cry to sons to arise and release our perfect love into the spiritual atmosphere all around the world. Son, choose a time to send a wave of love around the world, starting at 12 noon for 15 minutes. Saturate the atmosphere with love, joy, and peace daily to subdue and overcome fear. Son, greater grace is available to those who know perfect love. Where sin abounds, the divine enabling power of love even more abounds. This is the time for our children to arise and shine love's light into the darkness of fear, to dispel it. Creation can be set free from its bondage to fear and corruption by the glory of sonship, shining love's light brightly from the heavens into the earth. Let the sons of God arise and shine. Son, unity commands a blessing. Both unity and blessing are being released into the creation as orders of beings that Metatron, as keykeeper and timekeeper, is coordinating in this season. This is the season where the dimensions are converging, where time and the eternal now are converging, where heaven and earth are converging in sonship. The frequency of sonship expressed through the oracles of our heart are causing this convergence to begin, the season of greater grace through unity and blessing. Son, issue the resulting cry for the sons of God to arise and shine love's light in agreement and accord with unity and blessing. The heavenly Mount Zion and the earthly mounting of the house of the Lord are converging in unity to release greater grace of blessing. Son, this is to unveil the reality of the restoration of all things message to free creation from its groaning and bondage. The pentatonic scale is the call to engage and follow our heart's passion for creation to be restored to harmony and play the greater symphony, the great symphony of the music of the three spheres. The primordial sound is what you're hearing and sensing, and unity and blessing are the conductors of this movement as a season within seasons. Son, keep realizing the sound and of the oracles as an ambassador and as an oracle through the bowls, frequency generators, recorded music, you know, whatever it is, you know, we can release those sounds from our being. Son, you are the sound as you carry our heart as an ambassador and an oracle for restoration. As you resonate with our heart, all our sons are called to do, you will vibrate with the frequency as the oracles and legislators of restoration. If we do what God's doing, if we respond, our frequency will begin to affect creation positively. Son, these are the five core gates of the Merkabah linked to the connected to the five core gates of your being. This is the limitless energy needed for this dimension, but unity and blessing need to be added to activate the full seven gates for the dimensions to be restored. Hence, the seven gateways within us, seven activated through the Merkabah, but they're linked to the sounds and frequency of the oracles of the Father's heart. The full seven frequencies will need to be activated for total restoration. So the oracles of our heart, which you've seen as passion, burning desire, intense joy, deep compassion, and overwhelming love, also include unity and blessing. The first five oracles are connected to the earth, and sonship will expand to seven oracles to reach all the dimensions that need restoration. The scale will not be limited to seven, but will expand to nine and eventually 12 as the sons of God become ascended fathers and the firestones and the expand to form from 9 to 12. So I want to encourage you to embrace your destiny, the reality of your destiny within this. You know, I want to just open an activation where you can begin to engage the reality of who God is, perhaps engaging with the cloud of witnesses to reveal that amazing grace. You know, I'm going to make this declaration again of who God is. I am that I am, and I am is love. I am love, and love is I am. Love is who I am, and love is the motive of every desire, thought, and action. I am that I am, and I change not. I have always been and always will be love, as love is an eternal constant. Therefore, live loved, love living, live loving, rest. Now I want to encourage you just to close your eyes, just begin to slow down your breathing, just begin to draw from that place of rest, just thinking about the name of God, breathing in deeply, breathing out. So breathe in and breathe out. Yod. Breathe in. Hey. Breathe out. Vav. Breathe in. Hey. Breathe out. Yod. Hey. Vav. Hey. The rhythm of life, the breath of God. Just come to that place of rest, relax, open your hearts, open your minds to the frequencies of love. Let his passion for you surround you, flow through you and in you, passion going deep into the fabric of your being, that you would feel what the Father feels for you, for all the children of God, for all of creation. Feel his passion. Feel his burning desire for you. Feel his burning desire for your total restoration, healing, and wholeness. Feel his burning desire for intimacy and relationship with you. Just let that burning desire, that frequency, resonate within your being, going deeper and deeper and deeper. Feel the frequency of his burning desire. Now begin to feel the intense joy, how he feels about you, that intensity of his joy when he sees you, how he feels that your joy may be full. Let that frequency of joy penetrate deep into your being, deep within, filled with joy. Vibrate, let that frequency activate, let that frequency of his love for you, his deep compassion, bring you wholeness, bring you health. Let it vibrate even at your genetic level, his deep compassion and desire that you would be made whole. Just let it resonate within you. Obstacle, every hindrance to your full restoration. Let it go in you and through you. Let that overwhelming love overwhelm every obstacle, every wrong thinking, wrong mindset, wrong belief system. The frequency of overwhelming love. Let it penetrate deep within the fabric of your being. Limitless, unconditional, overwhelming, powerful love. Begin to feel God's heart for the whole of creation, his love, his limitless grace, his amazing mercy. Feel it. Feel his desire within the oracles of his heart for unity, unity of heart, mind and purpose, unity of spirit, soul and body, unity between heaven and earth, unity between time and eternity. Let that convergence, the heart of God for unity, just let that draw you deeper into his desire for the release of blessing. Blessing of God, the divine enabling power that will cause us to fulfill our destiny, being blessed to be a blessing, that we will receive all the blessing of God. Hear him speak over you. You are my beloved children in whom I'm well pleased. Feel the pleasure of his heart. Just feel the pleasure of his heart, that amazing love. Heralding unity and commanded blessing. Let the blessing of God that's blessed us to be fruitful, to multiply, to increase, to fill the earth, to subdue and overcome and to rule, bringing God's kingdom, God's power, God's glory, filling the earth with the glory of God. Just be drawn by his amazing love. Be empowered as a son of God. Arise, shine. Live loved. Love living. Live loving. Live in love, joy, and peace. Live in love, joy, and peace. Live in love, joy, and peace. Live loved. Love living. Live loving.